Our first scripture lesson is from Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. You can find it in the Pew Bible on page 182, but I'm reading from the Common English Bible. It's a focus on the power of love to bring people together. This is why I kneel before the Father. Every ethnic group in heaven and on earth is recognized by him. I ask that he will strengthen you and your inner selves from the riches of his glory through the Spirit. I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith. As a result of having strong roots in love, I ask that you'll have the power to grasp love's width and length, height and depth, together with all believers. I ask that you'll know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge, so that you will be filled entirely with the fullness of God. Glory to God, who is able to do far more than all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and always. Amen. Our second scripture is from the Gospel of John, and if you are able, I invite you to stand and actually remain standing for the hymn which follows. This is from the chapter 21 of Gospel of John. I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. It's on page 110 in your Pew Bible. It's a story about fishing after the resurrection. Later, Jesus himself appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." They said, "We'll go with you." They set out on a boat, but throughout the night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. Jesus called to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did. And there were so many fish that they couldn't haul in the net. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he wrapped his coat around himself, for he was naked, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they weren't far from shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." Simon Peter got up and pulled the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them. Yet the net hadn't torn, even with so many fish. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples could bring themselves to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. This is a special day for us, and I'm so thankful that all of you are here today. It just feels wonderful to have us together. And welcome to those who might be guests, special guests today. I want to introduce to you Reverend Tanya Arneson, who has been the lead consultant and a group of people that have been with us throughout the weekend to help us look at ourselves, a bit of a holding the mirror back at us. They have listened carefully, they have looked at data, and they have some reflections for us, things that they want to rejoice with us about, about who we are and all the resources God has provided for us. And at the same time, they have some suggestions, some recommendations, some ways that we might become even stronger and even more servants of God in reaching out for Jesus Christ. So I want to introduce to you Reverend Tanya Arneson.
On behalf of the consultant team and all of the faculty of the Vital Church Initiative, I want to say thank you for this invitation. I want to introduce two of my colleagues from the team who are here with me this morning. Nicholas Holton, would you just stand? Nick, some of you may have met him yesterday. And Naomi Garcia in the back here. Naomi, when you approve the report on February the 15th at your special charge conference, Naomi will remain working with you for the next 18 months as your directive coach. As we prepare to hear God's word to us, will you pray with me? Stir up our spirits, O God, that we might be awakened to new hope, new possibilities, new challenges, a new call, as we move forward together in faith, in trust. Speak to us now, O God, for your servants are listening. Amen.
Dum, dum. Dum, dum. Dum, 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 dum. Dum, 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 dum. Dum, 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 dum.
What do you think of?
Jaws.
It was the scariest movie of the generation. And it nearly took all of the fun out of going to the beach, didn't it? Steven Spielberg's classic about the great white shark that terrorizes the small town of Amity. Now, we don't actually see the shark, but we glimpse the dorsal fin, a shadowy figure under the surface, debris from an attacked boat. The folks of Amity aren't quite sure what they're facing, so Police Chief Brody and an oceanographer named Matt Cooper sign on with a wily old shark hunter named Quint. They launch out on Quint's trawler to hunt this predatory shark. It's their second day at sea, and they haven't yet seen a shark, but they have gotten on each other's nerves. Frustrated with the raiding, Brody leans over the stern and he starts to toss dead squid overboard to attract the shark. And suddenly, out of nowhere, this massive beast lurches out of the water. It's 25 feet long, 6,000 pounds, and jaws the size of a Volkswagen. Stunned, Brody watches the shark disappear under the water's surface, and then he backs slowly into the pilot house. When he finally finds his tongue, Brody says to Quint, "You're gonna need a bigger boat." You know, there are moments when you get a glimpse of what lies ahead. It blows away all of your old assumptions and expectations. You thought you knew what your future held, but out of the blue comes that moment of clarity when you meet the truth face to face. And it is bigger than you could have looked for or hoped for or imagined. The only thing left to say is, "I'm going to need a bigger boat." That's what happened to Saul. Perhaps you remember the story. Saul thought that he knew everything there was to know about God. He had been raised in a devout family, trained at the very best schools. He assumed that he knew what God expected of him, and Saul was absolutely confident that he could fulfill those expectations to the letter. And so Saul set out to Damascus, where he planned to put an end to those crazy folks who were following this Jesus of Nazareth that they claimed had actually been raised from the dead. But on the way to Damascus, Saul met the living Lord, the risen Lord, face to face. He was brought to his knees by a blinding light, and he heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul's expectations of God were blown out of the water. His old assumptions weren't big enough to handle all that God had planned for him. God overhauled Saul's life, beginning with a name change. And Saul, the persecutor, became Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, by the time he wrote his letter to the church in Ephesus that you just heard, Paul had discovered that his ideas about God and his assumptions about God were way too small. He said, "I pray that you may know the breadth and the length and the height and depth and the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge." In other words, Paul is saying, you have no idea of the magnitude of the God that you serve. Paul then writes to the church in Ephesus and said, we're going to need a bigger boat. Friends, the future of this congregation is staring us in the face, and it could be bigger and bolder than anything that you might dare to imagine. I'm not just talking about bigger programs or a bigger gathering space outside the sanctuary. I'm talking about human need. Do you have any idea of the magnitude of human need in your community? How would First United Methodist Church of Holland respond if you had truly understood the size of the challenge before you? How would any church respond? You see, here in the safety of this beautiful sanctuary, this holy space, it could be easy to forget that there is poverty and danger and disenfranchisement and bigotry and meanness and addiction and loneliness and despair in your community, more of it than you ever imagined. In other words, people are drowning all around you. They're drowning in financial obligations, drowning in broken relationships, drowning in anxiety about the future for them and their families in this land, drowning in isolation and despair. So I encourage you to ask yourselves, are we willing to grasp the magnitude of human need that God has called this church to address? Do we have that holy sense of urgency to bring hope to the hopeless and help to the helpless, light to those who live in darkness? Listen, I'm about to tell you an awesome and frightening, energizing, mobilizing, and hopeful truth. God has enlisted the church. In particular, God has enlisted First United Methodist Church of Holland to help save the world. Christ has instructed you to start fishing on the other side of the boat, as we learned yesterday. You can no longer continue to be content to do things the way that you have always done them with diminishing results, because Christ has given you these marching orders. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Now, admittedly, that's a tall order, isn't it? So if you're going to be fully faithful and effective in this disciple-making business, it occurs to me that you're going to need a bigger boat, right? I'm not talking about a bigger building or bigger programs. I'm talking about an even bigger commitment to mission and outreach, an even greater willingness to share your faith and to invite others, even folks who aren't like you, to be a part of God's kingdom right here. I'm talking about an enlarged heart for the least and the lost, a more urgent desire to get involved in the work and the ministry of Christ, a more urgent desire to share the faith with others, an excitement about having a broader impact in this community. I'm talking about a deeper trust in the power and the providence of the Holy Spirit, a fuller hope that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. First United Methodist Church of Holland, you're going to need what? Reverend H. Eddie Fox, recently retired director of World Methodist Evangelism, is a longtime family friend. He was visiting a church in Tampa, Florida, when a member of the congregation came to him and says, "Eddie, how big should our church be?" Most likely, the man was thinking about membership numbers or worship attendance or building capacity. But Eddie Fox said, "Until everyone in Tampa knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, your church is not big enough." Well, you may or may not resonate with Eddie's language, but the message is just as true for this church, my friends. Until every person in the Holland area knows their true identity in Jesus Christ, you aren't big enough. Until every child in this community knows a safe place in God's heart, you aren't big enough. Until every shattered person is healed, until every broken relationship is restored and reconciled, this church is not big enough. You need what? A bigger boat. And I am convinced this community needs you to be a bigger boat. Did you hear that? This community needs you to become a bigger boat. You have embraced the stated United Methodist mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ, help me, for the transformation of the world. That may mean that you are called to be a hospital for the walking wounded. It may be that you become a recruitment station and training ground for Christian disciples. It may be that you are a mission organizer and mobilizer, an advocate and voice for those people who get left out and overlooked, a faith community that dares to move outside the sanctuary and into your community to share the love of Christ with people who desperately need to know him. I don't presume to know. We, as a consultation team, don't presume to know what God's vision for this church is, but we do know this, that the Holland area needs this church to be a bigger boat. Pretty scary, huh? Is it? How are you feeling right about now? Anybody? Needed. Good. Energized. Good. Challenged. Good. Let's hear this good news. Even greater than the magnitude of human need in this community is the magnificence of holy supply. I'm going to say that again. Even greater than the magnitude of human need around you is the magnificence of holy supply. That's what Paul was talking about in his letter. Do you have any idea the enormity of power that God is ready to make available to this church? Let's review some of the resources for ministry that are already in place that we have observed and read about and experienced in you. You are blessed with an abundance of good things. Smart and committed and generous people. A beautiful physical plant and a location right here in downtown that can be developed and used for many kinds of new ministries. You are warm and friendly. My gosh, it took me forever just to go from here to here this morning as I was just embraced by you. You're warm and friendly not only to one another, but to your guests. And you have a dynamite youth ministry and a heart for mission in your community and around the world. But most important of all, we heard over and over again that this church has a hunger to grow in faith and in commitment to Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. God is ready to pour out even greater gifts upon any church that is willing to trust in God's holy supply and risk saying yes to a God-sized vision for their future. I just know that through you, God is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all you can ask for or imagine. The story is told of a vacation Bible school class of 4 and 5-year-olds. Their teacher invited the children to draw pictures of what God looked like. One girl said, "I'm going to draw God as big as my daddy." And a boy said, "I'm going to draw a picture of God that is big as a ship." "Well, I'm drawing a God as big as a mountain," said another boy. The teacher said, "Angie, how big are you going to draw God?" And she said, "I don't know, but one thing's for sure, I'm going to need a whole lot more paper." Angie understood, and I hope you understand what it means to follow a God who is constantly spilling over the borders and boundaries of all of our human expectations. God is always larger than we think. God fills the earth and God fills the skies, and there's a lot of God left over. And if we're going to follow God into the future, then we're going to have to use a lot more paper, a lot more prayer, a lot more daring, a lot more dreaming, a lot more loving, a lot more serving. In short, we're going to need. And maybe that should be our vision for the future. It's not about grand renovations, massive programs or budgets, larger staff or even larger numbers. It's about a greater God whose promise and provision are made known in the world through who? Oh, you sound so tentative. How is God's great love made known in the world through? If we really trusted in God's promises, if we dared to believe in God's ability to accomplish more then we would eagerly respond by giving more and risking more and sharing more. Friends, don't you think our lives ought to be a witness to our faith in holy supply? This morning, I believe First United Methodist Church of Holland stands at the crossroads between the magnitude of human need and the magnificence of God's holy supply. God has placed you right here in the heart of the city. God has literally brought you through the fire. How many times? And God has gathered here a diverse group of people who represent a broad spectrum of theology and politics and socioeconomics and age and gender, and God is knitting you together in authentic community. So I want to ask you this as I close. When was the last time that you, this church, allowed yourself to be staggered by God's capacity for miracles? Are you ready? And are you willing to take on a vision that is so bodacious, so grand, so incredible, so beyond your own capabilities, that your only option will be to trust that God can do through you what you can never accomplish on your own? Are you ready to point to God in amazement and say, now, to Him, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish far more abundantly anything we can ask for or imagine? To God be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. And let the people say, Amen.